Green Action Earth Week activities.
Nice.
Cannot wait. That's going to be a really fun conversation. Seth, have a great day.
You too, everybody.
Terry Johns will be with us tomorrow, co-hosting here on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. A week after dozens of pages of classified documents showed up on social media, President Biden doesn't sound worried about what's out there.
I'm concerned that it happened, but there's nothing contemporaneous that I'm aware of that is of great consequence.
Speaking in Ireland, he says investigators are closing in on the source of those leaked papers. The Washington Post reports they were posted by someone who worked at a military base. The administration has just announced it's expanding Medicaid and Obamacare health insurance to include hundreds of thousands of immigrants who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children, those people covered by the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. A late-night ruling by a federal appeals court means a popular abortion pill can stay on the market, but with restrictions. For example, no mail orders allowed. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum on what's ahead.
It will eventually hear a full appeal on the merits of the decision and either disallow its use, even in states where abortion is legal, or rule that the drug has been safely prescribed for over 20 years and the FDA is comprised of doctors.
Mother Nature is piling on with more rain headed to already flooded parts of South Florida. Here's CBS's Manuel Bajorquez.
Planes were grounded at Fort Lauderdale International Airport, where nearly 200 flights were canceled yesterday. Many passengers were stranded and packed into terminals overnight, sleeping wherever they could.
We're trying to get back home, and they're telling us that the airport is closed, and so at this point, we don't know what to do.
Overnight, the airport reopened the departures level so passengers could leave if they wish.
There's no let up in French anger and protests over higher retirement age.
Hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets of France on this 12th day of action against unpopular reforms that will see them working longer before they retire. Strikes continue in several sectors, notably transport, education, energy, and trash collection. Labor unions say today's lower turnout has done nothing to stem their determination to keep going until the reforms are dropped. The government has said that won't happen. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
Hot pants, mini skirts with matching tights, and mix and match were part of her fashion repertoire.
The Chelsea look, the London beat, designed by Mary Quant.
Designer Mary Quant's innovations epitomized the swinging 60s fashions out of England. Quant's family says she's died at her home in southern England. She was 93. In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow is up 19, the NASDAQ up 110. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Like bones, your teeth lose density and become weaker over time, which can lead to tooth decay. And that can make your visit to the dentist feel like this. But if you want your dental visit to feel like this, try Crest Densify. Crest Densify actively rebuilds tooth density to extend the life of teeth by remineralizing enamel. Densify from Crest, the number one toothpaste brand in America. Smile, Crest has you covered.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 83 this afternoon under clear skies, southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 54. Mainly clear again tomorrow, high of 79. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday, chance for scattered rain showers on Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 13th, 2023. 10:04 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maitloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to speak with Kayla Rumbalski. She's a community development educator at UW Extension. Looking forward to talking with Kayla. Right now, we are talking clean, green action, Earth Week activities. We have with us Joe Ansel from Clean Green. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Joe. Thanks for being here.
Okay.
Appreciate the time. We also have Susan Schuler with us from Recycling Connections. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Appreciate you being here. Yeah. And I believe we have on the phone with us Francisco Seo from Renew Wisconsin in Madison. Good morning, Francisco.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Actually, I did not know we had a call coming in, so you guys will need to put the headphones on in order to hear him. Apologize for that. Francisco, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Doing good. Thanks for asking, man. I appreciate it. I am so thankful that you guys are here today. I don't like to do this, but I have to start on a bit of a maybe controversial place. I'm a big supporter of the Earth. I believe in the Earth. I love the Earth. I want to do everything we can to support the Earth and keep it around as long as possible. There, I said it. I know how controversial that is. I know how crazy that is of me to say. But, you know, I'm a big fan of the moon. Don't know about the location. Don't really think that we're going to be moving there anytime soon. Probably should make this Earth work. Probably should do what we can to keep the Earth healthy and around for our kids, and all that. I know it's controversial, but I'm going to stand on that hill. In all seriousness, it does have to feel that way sometimes, I would imagine. I'm not in the industry. I'm not a part of things as much as you all are, but I do, whenever I have an opportunity, try to bring these things up, try to incorporate them into conversations. And I, even in the most lightest of moments, I can see sometimes a little bit of a pushback on these things. So as long as the three of you have been doing this, I imagine that that happens from time to time. My where I want to start with is you individually and how you continue on with the fight, why you continue on with the fight. Joe, I'll start with you.
Okay, well, the organization Clean Green Action here in Wisconsin Rapids is a sustainable environmental organization and started back in 2008. And I used to be an environmental engineer with the DNR before I retired. So this is, once I retired, this is part of my effort to, you know, to make the planet a livable place for everyone.
Yeah.
So it just kind of a continuation of what I've always been doing.
How long have you been doing this, Joe?
Well, got out of college back in 1973. So
a while.
Ever since then, yes.
I didn't mean to age you, sir. I apologize. That's really cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this for so long. I greatly appreciate that. Yeah. That is very cool to hear. Susan, how about for you?
Yeah, for me, I work at Recycling Connections, and we're an organization that's been around since 1981, and our charge was really to start recycling in central Wisconsin and bring curb recycling to Stephen's point in a very grassroots effort. And it was very cool. They've got a really great history with them. I started as an environmentalist when I was a teenager. You know, I just didn't really know the direction I was going to take in it. And now I just look at the Earth as our life-supporting system for all living beings on Earth. And that is every living creature included. And so that becomes pretty important when you have 7.5 billion and growing population of humans. And to try to find that balance, it really does take a lot of science to look at how our biological systems work and how much it really can support for our well-being. So, you know, we're in this industry to really look at being efficient with our resources and use them wisely, because we do have a finite Earth that needs to support a lot of life here. And so I've been caring about these issues for a long time then, studying it through college, and then have continued on. And Recycling Connections obviously has a really long history, too, of making sure we're reclaiming as much resource and trying to reuse them as much as possible. So that's what I'm here for, though. So
appreciate that, and appreciate the work you've put in, Susan.
Thanks.
Francisco, how about yourself and telling us about Renew Wisconsin?
Again, thank you for the opportunity. So I am the Emerging Technology Director at Renew Wisconsin, and in this role, I support beneficial electrification, which means electrifying our buildings and electrifying our transportation sector, because Wisconsin is a state that does not produce petroleum, and we send about $12 billion a year out of state to purchase petroleum products. And that's money that is not supporting our economy, because that's money that's leaving the state. We have the opportunity to generate some of our fuel here through wind and solar, and we're finding ways to help transition our energy systems to cleaner, healthier systems that support the people of Wisconsin and the economy of the state. So Renew is a nonprofit organization. We have been around for over 30 years, building a stronger, healthier, and more vibrant state of Wisconsin through the advancement of renewable energy. We work on policies and programs that support solar power, wind power, biogas, local hydropower, electric vehicles, and also building electrification. Personally, I have a background in engineering. I got an undergrad, and I went to UW-Madison for my undergrad and then back for a master's. And I have been working in energy since maybe 2015. Most of my work has been on energy efficiency. So I worked for the Focus on Energy program for a few years. When I left Focus, I was managing the New Construction Solution, which is the part of Focus that works with new construction, including single-family homes. And now here at Renew, I am doing work that is a little bit different. It's focusing, not such a big focus on energy efficiency, but on how we meet our energy needs, taking advantage of the opportunities that we have with renewable energy and also transitioning to electricity so we don't have to import fuels to the state. And, you know, I love that your introduction, the way you kind of got this started. I have a little bit of a different spin on the conversation about taking care of the earth. I agree with you that we need to take care of the earth, definitely. But I also think that, you know, the earth will do just fine without us. So this is a matter of protecting the earth as a matter of survival. We need to protect the earth because this is the environment that we live in, and we get the resources to sustain our way of life from planet Earth. But, you know, the planet Earth has been around for over 4 billion years. And it will be around long before we're gone if we keep doing what we're doing. So this is not like, oh, you know, I'm not spreading fear. I'm just saying, you know, if we don't take care of the planet will find ways to move on. And we won't be part of the picture because the planet has been doing this for a very long time.
It's an important distinction to make. I appreciate you bringing that up. I appreciate you doing that. And you have examples of this throughout your whole lives. Everybody's seen a pair of train tracks that hasn't had a train on it in decades. What happens to that? Grass grows over it. Nature moves. We see polar bears coming up from the Arctic into towns now and everything looking for food. Nature, the earth, it finds a way. It will do it with or without us. So I think it's a good distinction to make. I think it's a good point to make. I take this moment whenever I can to brag about my mother, partially because as a Jew I have to, but more importantly because I'm so proud of her. My mother very early on got us into recycling, long before we had bins or it was a public thing or there were trash compactors for it or anything like that. It was a real big deal to her, and I remember thinking as a kid what a hassle it could be at times. You know, I just wanted to throw everything in the garbage, but okay, this goes in here, or whatever. And before I knew it, we were just doing it. We were just, you know, we weren't even thinking about it. We just put the things in the things like we are as a society now. I think sometimes we get so caught up and we live in a 24-hour news cycle and we have all these things that we forget sometimes about the progress we make and the things that we can show we've proven that we can do. 50 years ago, I don't know if you would have been able to convince people, hey, one day we're all going to recycle. Like, I don't know about that or anything. Now we just do it. Yeah. Now it's just something that's a part of us and everything. So I want people to keep that in mind when we talk about some of the vision for clean energy, when we talk about some of these things and we're talking about the future. Sometimes I think things can feel daunting or feel too big or how can I ever make an impact on that? Where this is literally one of those things in life where every single one of us can make an impact on this. Every single person. Not everybody can cure polio, but we can all do something like this. We can all get in on this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that clean energy vision, if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
Get into that a little bit. I see on the pamphlet that I was giving that by 2030, we're hoping to achieve 50% reduction in CO2 emissions from 2005 levels. That's a lot of words. What does that mean for people? The people, especially for people that don't quite understand all this terminology maybe and everything, breaking it down for them.
Okay, I was going to let
I was going to leave it open to see whoever wanted to jump in. Francisco, do you want to take that?
Because he's going to be one of our speakers week at the library.
And I really love his accent. I got to be honest with you guys. I love his voice. Francisco, you got a great voice, man. So
And he's going to be explaining to people, you know, what are the opportunities, you know, with the Inflation Reduction Act to to make your home more energy efficient, or if you're looking to buy an electric car, what are the opportunities there that the Inflation Reduction Act and other federal legislation offers? So, I guess I'll let Francisco explain better.
Yeah. Francisco.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. About the accent, since you mentioned that, I grew up in Colombia and I came to Wisconsin about 18 years ago for college and just fell in love with the state, and this is home now. So I truly love the state.
Right.
I'm very grateful for what the state has done for me and the life that I have created here. You know, I'm married, have little kids that were born here. So this is great. I still can't get rid of the accent somehow.
Don't you dare get rid of that accent. No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I'm glad that you like it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, though, Ben.
Speaking about clean energy and the targets that we have, and you mentioned some of those. So we hear the utilities say we plan to be next zero carbon by this year, and then you have local governments or state governments or even the federal government set targets for, you know, clean energy, for a clean energy vision. I think most of that conversation will happen, and most of these things will happen, and they will not have a huge effect on consumers and individuals, because these are decisions that are being made by utilities and policymakers in order to shape our energy infrastructure, right? There is another side of that, which is the things that are happening because of federal legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law that give individuals and consumers tools to do their part to help with that energy transition. So my plan for this conversation we're having next week is to focus on the things that individuals and businesses and even municipalities can do to take advantage of the resources and the tools that are available to do your part, not because it is your responsibility, but because you will benefit if you do that. And I will give you some more concrete examples of that in a minute. But just to go back to this idea of, you know, we have these targets of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by X percentage by this year, and they're different everywhere. The idea there is we have the technology available today to generate our energy in better ways, so we have a more gentle impact on the earth. So we don't destroy the planet in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And those resources are, you know, we have a tremendous amount of solar energy that's available to us. We just have to harness it. It's hitting the planet all the time. We just have to harness it and then put it on wires and send it to people's homes. And that's one of the reasons why we are investing a lot into electrifying homes, because once your home can use electricity, then we can supply you with energy that's coming from the sun or wind, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot do that if you have a gas furnace or a propane furnace. We can collect a lot of solar energy, but we can't deliver it to you because you cannot use it. So that's part of the reason why we're making these efforts to electrify things. So, but again, you know, some of these things are kind of very high level, and individuals don't have a lot of say on how that's going to happen other than doing their part by taking advantage of things like the Inflation Reduction Act. So the Inflation Reduction Act is a federal law, and it's one of the it's the largest clean energy investment we've seen in U.S. history. And one of the things that it does, it creates pathways for people to replace their appliances in their homes to make them electric. So it provides rebates and tax incentives for people to replace their furnace with a heat pump, for example. And a heat pump is a fantastic piece of equipment. It's like a refrigerator, but it works for your house. So it cools your house in the summer, and then, you know, it heats your house in the winter, and it's very efficient. It uses electricity, so it has many advantages. You can get rebates and tax credits to purchase electric stoves, and these are not like the electric stove with the coil resistance on the top. These are like induction stoves that are more efficient than a gas stove and that don't pollute the air inside of your house. And then you have the bipartisan infrastructure law that provides funding to replace aging school buses with new electric school buses that will save school districts money and protect the health of our children. The infrastructure law also provides funding to build electric vehicle charging stations. And these charging stations can bring benefits to the benefits of electric vehicles to all communities and create economic opportunity for local artisans and shopkeepers and promote local tourism. So I'm really looking forward to having using electric vehicle charging stations as an excuse to bring people to communities where people are just driving by, but now they don't have a reason to stop it. So I want to have EV charging stations in Main Street in every community, rural community in Wisconsin, so people have a reason to stop by for an hour or two, grab a meal, go to the shop, go to the museum, or do whatever, spend a few dollars as they are traveling around the state. You know, we drive an electric vehicle, we have one, and we do that. When we travel, we always looking for places where we can stop, charge for a couple of hours, get a meal, just, you know, visit the shop, and then we go on our way. I think that there is a tremendous opportunity to bring dollars and revenue to communities now through electric vehicle charging stations, and the federal government is providing those tools and those resources to do that now.
It does seem like things are there's still a lot of work to be done. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle here, but it does seem like society, our government, starting to get on the same page here a little bit about how important this stuff is. I will never forget my whole life seeing a commercial for the new Hummer, and it was electric. Like, Hummer has even done this? Like, whether it's for the good purposes or it's for money, whatever the case may be, most businesses are getting behind being green and getting into that. It does seem like that's a positive. Now, that's one thing with businesses. I think when we talk about politicians, it's a whole different story. And that is where I have to mention, do your homework. Understand who you are voting for. Understand who is in their pocket. Understand where they are getting their funding from. Who contributes to their campaigns. All of the above. If I was a politician, I'd be walking around with a jacket like NASCAR. Where I got this organization, this organization. I mean, own it. Just own who is in your pocket. I don't see what it's all public knowledge anyway. I don't see what the harm would be in that. Yeah. And then we understand, okay, that person does not seem to care about the earth. That is somebody I do not want in office. I don't think we're asking a lot of our politicians or of ourselves to do a little bit of extra homework before you go into the ballot box. That's just my little soapbox moment there. I'll keep moving.
It's important.
When it comes to all these things we're talking about here, how is you and your organization help not only the community, but to kind of trying to get these emissions down and trying to do some of these things?
Yeah, so when it comes to waste and recycling, the national EPA also has a goal that aligns with the climate goals. And when it comes to recycling, we're looking at a 50% recycling rate nationwide by 2030 as well. So you're going to hear this 2030 thing happen. Okay. A lot of environmental movements are all around these targets of 2030, which we've been talking about. In recycling, we're trying to go from 32% of what the nation currently has for reclaiming resources and recycling them to 50 by 2030. So same, and it all aligns with the idea of climate goals. Because the more things we put in the landfill, the more we're getting emissions that are much more potent, the methane gas is produced more in landfills when it breaks down materials, and that's a lot more potent than our carbon dioxide. So we really want to slow the growth of landfills. So you too can stop the growth of landfills. And that's really by looking at your single-use products. Can we be smarter, more efficient, and getting more to a circular economy? And that means looking at getting back to reusables again, not, you know, at a picnic, can you just bring few 10 plates that you can take home and wash instead of those disposable plates? You know, when you're looking at a wedding, make sure you're using those glassware and diningware on events like that, or wherever you're out and about. Bring your container that you're going to have for to-go, because all that stuff does end up in the landfill. And so it's so important. And that's our talk next week. It's Earth Day week, and we have these conversations that are going to be happening, and it's focusing on what you and I and we as people can do. Yes, there's a lot of things happening at the federal level, and maybe we can't control everything, but what do our actions and the impact that makes? What can I do at home to support these climate change goals as well? Because it does take all of us. We've got the federal stuff happening, wonderful. But we all need to contribute, just like you said. Recycling's got to be the norm. Yeah. I want to challenge everyone to work me out of a job where I don't need to do this anymore. I don't think it's going to happen because humans are complicated.
Yeah.
But so I think I've got job security.
Yeah. But I love the goal. I love the phrasing. Yeah. And you set me up perfectly. I wanted to wrap up talking about some of the Green Week activities coming up and everything, and you just set me up perfectly, Susan. Joe, do you want to touch on some of those?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, if you want to hear more from Francisco on clean energy opportunities, he's going to be at McMillan Library next Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you want to hear more from Susan on recycling, she's going to be at McMillan Library here in Wisconsin Rapids on next Thursday at 6 o'clock. And then the library is also showing a number of films next week. Yeah. There's an environmentally related film on Monday at 1:30 and 6 p.m. On Tuesday at 6 o'clock, they got a children's film based on a Dr. Seuss book.
The Lorax. I was just trying to pull it up here. The Lorax will be Tuesday, April 18th at 6 o'clock in McMillan. On Wednesday the 19th, they're going to be having Francisco there, as you mentioned, and everything. And then Susan will be there on April 20th at 6 o'clock. Then they have the biggest on April 22nd at 1:30 in their Fine Arts Center. They'll have The Biggest Little Farm, an award-winning documentary.
Very good documentary.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All these events, of course, taking place with our friends over at McMillan Memorial Library.
Yeah.
And you can find out more by going to their website. Or where else can we send people for information? We've talked about a lot today, and I apologize that we have not even scratched the surface of these topics. But I do want to encourage people to do their own homework. That is part of what we do here. We don't just feed you the answers. We want you to do some work out there and be a part of this. Be a part of this, what we're doing here. Yeah. Joe?
Well, if you just Google Clean Green Action, we do have a web page, and on that web page there is a section on climate change with a number of links there, so you can find out a lot more information on our web page.
It was really helpful for me doing a bunch of homework before the episode here and stuff. I really like the website. Doing a really nice job with it. Susan, how about for you and your organization? Is there a website? Is there somewhere we can direct you? A phone number?
So our website is recyclingconnections.org. We have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, a YouTube channel as well. So you can get tips of what you could do for reducing your impact, recycling more. And with it being garden season, compost is our hot topic of the season. So we have all sorts of compost activities coming up as well. So that's where you can find information on us.
Francisco, how about for you? How can people reach you if they'd like, they have follow-up questions or anything?
Yeah, we have a website, is renewwisconsin.org. We also have a presence on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, all these social media channels. I'm looking forward to being there next week and talking to people. Just, you know, one fact that I will throw here is we're estimating that a typical household in the U.S. can save about $1,800 a year if they install the appliances that are incentivized through the Inflation Reduction Act. So I really want to encourage people to at least take a look at it and mm-hmm. see what opportunities are there. You can reach me through our website. I'm on the contacts page. Happy to, email, talk on the phone, whatever.
Really great meeting you, Francisco. Thank you so much for the time and what you're doing for our planet. Appreciate you coming to town, too. We're looking forward to seeing you in town.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Thank you again, sir. And thank you both, not only for putting up with me for 20-some minutes and everything, but for what you're doing for our community, what you're doing for our planet. Greatly appreciate you. And all of your staff and the people, say hi to everybody for us and tell them to keep up the good fight.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
I do have to warn all of you, though. You all did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's just the way it works.
Oh, I'd love to have you back.
Thank you for the time, you two.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine in just a moment here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
If you live in Wisconsin Rapids, then you probably heard of Freeburg's Service and Repair. Freeburg's has been servicing all types of vehicles, including cars, trucks, RVs, and semis for over 15 years. Freeburg's provides quality vehicle maintenance backed by TechNet's 2-year, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Freeburg's has the facility, tools, and qualified mechanics to make sure your vehicle maintenance is performed correctly and at a fair price. Freeburg's Service and Repair is a locally owned, full-service repair shop you can trust.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal: giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. And it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 83 this afternoon under clear skies, southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 54. Mainly clear again tomorrow, high of 79. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday, chance for scattered rain showers on Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 67.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
All
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, Part 2, for this April 13th, 2023, 10:34 on the clock. Your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our good friend, Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator at UW Extension. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning.
Glad you can make it in.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. How have you been? How was your Easter? How all that?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, it was good. I was reflecting with some coworkers recently that it was kind of funny because we were in Stevens Point for an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, and then we drove up to Rhinelander on Sunday. And in Point on Saturday, it was beautiful. It was like 60 degrees. My kids were in t-shirts and jeans. But Grandma and Grandpa said, oh, well, there's still several inches of snow on the ground up here in Rhinelander, so you're going to need to bring snow pants, hats. And so as I'm packing up, I'm like, man, this is just crazy.
It's so that's the Midwest. Yeah,
right.
That is
how it is. Yes.
Kayla, one of the things we're going to focus on today is community-informed planning and placemaking. I think this is a fun topic. It also seems like a pretty big topic, though. Where would you like to start with that?
That is a good question. It is a big topic. But I want to start just by talking about what placemaking is, because I think that that has become a bit of a buzzword. Hmm. And I'm not sure when folks hear it, when the first time that I heard it, I wasn't really sure what that was referring to. So placemaking, there are a lot of different definitions. You can dive into several different, YouTube TED Talks or videos describing what placemaking is. But essentially, it's putting the people first in a place. So looking at communities from a sense of where people are gathering and how to make that community better for its residents. And I think the most important part of placemaking, and what I kind of wanted to focus on for our chat today, is talking about how everyone, every resident, every person is a placemaker. So placemaking is often brought up in conversations around community art. It's also brought up in planning and zoning conversations. So as we're planning for the comprehensive plan, which is a document, binder of information for a community, we talk about placemaking. But it's not just the economic developers or the planners of the world that get to influence these decisions. It's everyone. And so I wanted to kind of dive into talking about some placemaking initiatives with you and to encourage everyone who's listening to think about how they might be a placemaker in their own community.
Before we dive into that, can we give people some examples of placemaking?
Yeah, of course. So placemaking is really any development that or any project initiative that is bettering your community and I often think of it as brightening your community. Mm-hmm. So it's making your community fun. It's bringing a little bit of vitality into the community. So examples from central Wisconsin could be the Wenzel Family Plaza in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to gather. Lots of events that happen there during the summer, lots of space for families to and people of all ages to come out and celebrate their community and celebrate with their neighbors. There is, in Wisconsin Rapids, there's a plan that was actually just developed and is available on the city's website. It's a public art and creative placemaking plan. Mm-hmm. So that is sort of an inventory of some of the public art spaces in Wisconsin Rapids.
Such a cool idea.
Yeah, it is. And looking at how to really invigorate and develop more of that. How can we get more public art and more whimsy, that's kind of a weird word, but I would use whimsy how can we pump that into Wisconsin Rapids? An example in some other communities across central Wisconsin, so in Stevens Point, they have the Opera House Complex, which was previously the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
That's a huge placemaking effort, restoring an old building into something new. Also in Portage County, you've got what they've done with the Shopko development in Plover. So turning Shopko into what's called Artist and Fair. So there's a coffee house there. Oso Brewing is there. I think Planet Fitness is in that location. Wow. So really a multi-use space for the community's benefit.
I think a current example is being built right now in the Shopko, the former Shopko building, that there we've got four businesses going into there.
Exactly.
There's something. And I,
And if you don't mind, Kayla, I would like to bring just two other examples up real quick worldwide. As far as when I was in California, one of the things that first hit me was, you know, their infrastructure is going to be different than ours. They have a lot more Adobe there, a lot more, Latin influence and everything on their construction and the design of their buildings and everything. But they didn't really tear stuff down. They just kept the buildings. And then instead of it, what used to be a saloon or something like that is now a grocery store.
Right.
They kept the buildings. They just repurposed them.
Right.
Like a hermit crab or like a shell of a hermit crab or something. And it's so cool. You've never walked into a grocery store like this before. Like it's so unique how they've done that. And I think of a story, and I didn't think about this before until you meant talking about that. I remember when I was a kid, and people would complain all the time about our neighborhood being dirty and the high rises we lived in, and how nasty the brick was, and all these things. And I remember some of my friends and some kids that were graffiti artists, and they painted a Mona Lisa on the side of the building. They not spray painted one. They didn't paint it, but they spray painted one. And every resident you can think of was looking at that and spending like sitting outside there and having a drink out there, a coffee, whatever, and stuff. It was so. It's not the same exact thing, I know, but it's similar to what we're talking about here.
Exactly. And you see, I think it's Nashville, and there might be a city. I feel like there's a city in Wisconsin that recently did a mural of wings. So you see like people taking pictures with those, posting them on social media. I mean, though, all of those things really attract people to a community and give you something to brag about, right? Yeah. So it's about wanting to share what makes your community great. And those are really important. So actually, one of the reasons I was late in getting to the studio this morning is because I just came from a Wood County Rural Economic Development Roundtable. Oh. And we talked exactly about some of the new developments, talking about what's happening in Shopko. And Kyle Kearns from the city shared that.
Kyle.
Yeah, he shared that he's so happy and rightfully so that our Shopko development is turning into retail and mixed use space rather than storage.
Yeah.
And nothing, not that there's anything, you know, people need storage units. I'm not faulting the storage unit industry, but like so many of our vacant spaces end up turning into heated storage. And it seems like there's so much potential there for something that really benefits the community at large. And we're seeing know, those types of developments.
The storage industry is going to be fine.
Right.
We don't have to worry about them getting their money. They're going to be okay. We can put storage units anywhere, basically. When it comes to having actual retail and stuff, you want that in town. You want that in a place like the Shopko location. It just makes more sense. And I don't think anybody, because we all used those storage bins and those kind of things before, or those storage facilities before and everything, but I don't think anybody's looking to see that when they're driving downtown on Main Street.
Right.
So much of this is also part of attracting people, keeping people. There is not a mayor or a city official in any of our local cities, in any rural city in America, that is not trying to keep its population and is not worried about losing that population, those numbers going down, people migrating to other places.
Right.
Part of how you keep people in a town or want to stay in a town is not just to having safe schools and all these things. Those things are certainly important. People got to have things to look at. People got to have things that they want to enjoy, that they brag about. We all want to be proud of where we're from. Most everybody gives you these things, along with the added bonuses of the economic impact it can make and keeping your population up, which helps tax ways, which helps your city getting more funding. Like all of this
all
stuff
of those
adds
things.
Up. Yeah, all of it. So
it does. There's a huge economic impact. You know, you think about placemaking and often you think about community art and some folks perhaps may have the mindset that those are just niceties, that it's not it's not really important to a community. But I would argue that those are, for all of the reasons you just said, there's a huge economic impact for those types of initiatives and programs.
I was talking to a student the other day, and they they were talking about how much they hate blank walls. Like, you can have anything on there you want. Why would you have just a blank wall? You can do anything with that. Like, just go grab a painting or a picture or make one and put it on there. Anything's better than a blank wall. What kind of town do you want to live in? You want to live in a town that's just boring, that has nothing, no art, no nothing, just you go to work, you come home, that's it? Like, no, that's not Rapids. That's not what we are. That's not what we are here. We've got all kinds of things for you to do. We have sports teams. We have all, you know, water parks, all these different things. Like, you need that stuff.
Yeah.
Every city does. Even though I'm not a local resident, the pride I have in this area, it starts with the people, and then it goes to the actions the people have made.
Right.
And it comes to these things that we've been talking about here. We'll get more in depth in it when we come back. We'll take a really quick commercial break, and I want to talk about how people can put actions to their thoughts and their feelings about this. And we'll get into that a little bit more with Kayla on Morning Magazine here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 83. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 54. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow, highs level off around 79. Chance for scattered storms Saturday, chance for scattered rain showers on Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, and appreciate our good friend Kayla being in here with us. We're talking about some of the cool different ways that you can impact your community with being a planning and placemaking. And we've talked about this a little bit already, Kayla, about different things people can do to impact their community, to make it more positive, make it better, all these different things. But we already, I think, understand that we have some creative people out there. We have some people that are interested or want to do this. We've talked about this a lot, actually, you and I and other guests. We're still healing from the pandemic. We are still healing from a lot of that stuff. And a lot of people are still looking for ways to give back, ways to put into their community, ways to do something. But not everybody can be a doctor or a nurse. Not everybody can cure a disease or anything like that. But we can all take place in this. We can all be a placemaker, being placemaking, as you touched on. But so now we understand that we're all placemakers. Now, how do we put that into action? What do we do with these projects? What do we do with these ideas?
That is a great question. And there are so many ways to start. I think there is always power in numbers, right? So maybe the first step is you have this idea. And even if you think it's far-fetched, start to talk to people about it. Say, hey, you know, I have this vision for... I don't know, maybe it's a splash pad or maybe it's a mural. Maybe you want to see, you know, I mentioned those wing murals earlier. Mm-hmm. You want to see something like that, and you have a idea of a good place, a good blank space where that could happen. Someone needs to know, right? So like, you have that idea and maybe others have thought of it, but no one has ever voiced it. So it doesn't go any further than just an idea. So having the opportunity to talk with others about that idea. And then I think as you gain momentum, whether it's talking within your own social circle or talking with a couple of other people, and then taking that to an organizational level and gaining momentum that way is how things get done, right? Mm-hmm. So there are several organizations across the county, across central Wisconsin, that are engaging in this placemaking work. And I'm sure would love to hear ideas or would love to have others from the community engaging in the work that they're already doing. So a shout out to a couple of organizations. I mean, we already talked about the public art and creative placemaking plan for the city of Wisconsin Rapids. That information about that is on their website. So you can go out to the Wisconsin Rapids website and learn more about how you can engage in that effort. Create Portage County, which is an organization in Portage County that has really been spearheading a lot of public art initiatives, and even more than that, entrepreneurial. I mean, they're just a hub for a lot of activity. They, again, from my meeting this morning, I learned that they're expanding into serving other communities. So they're working with the C2 Makerspace in Marshfield and working on sort of expanding their footprint. So I'm sure that they would be open to hearing ideas. That's a great place to get involved. The two makerspaces, you know, speaking of that, so there's a makerspace here in Wisconsin Rapids at McMillan Library. There's a makerspace up in Marshfield at the UW campus there. Those are great places for entrepreneurs or people with ideas for products or for things to have some experience with getting those ideas out of your head and into a real life item, a prototype, a whatever, a widget, whatever it is. And so being able to share with like-minded people there, I would say get involved with those efforts. And then beyond that, you know, city government, town government, the different committees that we have for our town boards and village boards and that sort of thing are always great places to start and get involved. I can speak for some experience that's happening in Pittsville. So there is a really active group of community residents in Pittsville that are working on several initiatives to advance that community and to make things a better place to live, work, and play in Pittsville. So they're doing that from the sense of a community economic analysis and strategic plan. So identifying where the community could benefit and could make some changes, and then also doing it from just looking at one of their trails and trying to extend a trail by the river, looking at some ways, and they worked with UWSP to do this, looking at some ways to connect their downtown to their waterfront. So all of those things, I mean, there are people that are engaging in this effort across the county, across central Wisconsin, and I'm sure that they are just looking for other folks to plug in. So if you have ideas, if you want to make the community better, whether that's something that you don't, maybe you don't have the time to invest and to move an idea forward, but if you give it to one of those groups and vocalize that opinion and then go from there, or, you know, roll up your sleeves and get involved with these groups that are working actively on placemaking, that's how a community becomes such a great place to live, work, and play.
Well said. And if I can piggyback off of what you're saying there, for one, thank you again for mentioning the Makers Market and the McMillan. I don't feel like that facility gets used nearly enough. It's this awesome, incredible thing that we have here in town that's just sitting right there. All that awesome equipment, all those great people right there. You got ideas, bring them there. Or get on over there and start putting them to work. Get some actions behind them. I will also mention Encourage. I think Encourage does some really great work when it comes to this too, as far as taking these ideas and putting action to them and making them happen. And UW, you know, Extension does a really good job with this too. Because I have talked to so many, you know, different people from Extension that hear ideas from community members and then they bring them down the air. And I think that's really cool. I appreciate that very much. All of our best ideas are going to come from the people.
Right.
It's where... with anything like this, I always am reminded of this phrase, and it's something that pops in my head, especially with all the changes we've had here at this station and everything in the last couple of years. Every good thing that has ever happened began with change.
Right.
Everything. There's nothing you can think of that happened that just started out that way. Everything comes good from change.
Yeah.
It's an okay thing. It's not always easy. I'm not saying anybody likes change, but growth takes this. And for our city to grow, for our community to grow, it takes your ideas. It takes your creativity. Maybe you've driven past this one street your whole life and all of a sudden there's a mural there and you're not big on it or whatever. When you see that mural, don't see that mural. See dollar signs. See your population. See right. those things staying current. See, that's what you need to be seeing in these things. Hopefully you see a beautiful mural. But I'm just trying to reach the people that may not care so much about some of these things.
Yeah.
It should matter to you because you probably care about your taxes. You probably care about your, some of the things like that. Well, this all ties together. You mentioned Pittsville, and I'm so glad that you did because one of the things I wanted to bring up with this was while we are, kind of focusing on certain cities or what have you, we're all connected. And if Pittsville's doing well, that means it's going to help Rapids.
Right.
If Rapids is doing well, that means it's going to help Nakusa. Like I know that there's some high school rivalries and things like that around here and everything like that. I'm putting all that aside.
Right.
We're just talking about adults and people and business. And we all help. All of our economies are connected.
Right.
So this helps all of us when all of our cities are beautiful, when all of our cities have these creative output and these placemaking.
Exactly. I think a great example of that is the PGA tournament that's happening this summer. So I'm not much of a golfer and I don't really follow golf, but that is a huge opportunity for Central Wisconsin. Yes, it's happening in Stevens Point, but it's going to attract people to the region as a whole. And so it's an opportunity for all of our communities in Central Wisconsin to come together and really shout from the rooftops, hey, Central Wisconsin is great.
Yeah.
We have a low cost of living. We have a lot of amenities, some big city feels in mm-hmm. parts of our communities with rural living, which in a lot of cases, I mean, each person, of course, has their own opinions, but in a lot of cases, that's the dream, right?
Absolutely. You mentioned you just came from a meeting and everything. In the last couple of minutes we have, were there any hot headlines from that meeting? Were there any things that you think would be interesting for the audience to know or that you can share, I should say?
Yeah.
I don't want to get you in trouble here.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's a public meeting. So I will also say that if there's anyone listening who wants to be engaged in this work on a deeper level, the Ready Roundtable. So Ready is Regional Economic Development Initiative. Rural Economic Development Initiative, Ready. That is a plan that was done by my predecessor in Extension back in 2021. The plan, for a lot of reasons, has really not been fully utilized these past couple of years, COVID being one of them, right? And so we're really working hard right now to generate some action and movement around that plan and looking for citizen engagement. And so that's what the meeting was. There are a number of subgroups of the Ready Initiative. So things like broadband, child care, entrepreneurship, and housing, a number of subgroups. So we would welcome community engagement around that. Okay, now I will answer your question. That was a little politician move on my part. I just talked in a circle there for a second. So in terms of key takeaways, I think definitely, what you had shared about the Shopko development, that's exciting. Central to Success is something that's happening with Centergy, our friend Angel Whitehead, who is a Wisconsin Rapids hometown resident, is doing a lot with Central to Success. And that really piggybacks right on what we were just talking about with marketing our region as a whole, as a place to live, work, and play. So there's a lot of activity happening with that. Mid-State, holy cow, Mid-State has a ton of activity happening across central Wisconsin, but particularly in Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. So I would encourage folks to go out and see what they're doing, doing some partnerships with different organizations based on healthcare and programs that they're either looking to grow or to start new degree programs. I'm not going to share any more than that because I don't want to leave anyone out. But I will say that I took like 2.5 pages of minutes at the meeting. So there was a lot of information that was shared. And I'm always, I'm always cognizant of the fact that if I highlight three organizations, I'm leaving out 10.
It always happens.
So I'll leave it at that. But I'll say that there's a lot of energy around this. And it's definitely something that if listeners are interested, we would love to have your input and to let you get involved.
I think that we have woken up some, we started a fire in some people. We know that we've got creative people out there. I think we've got some heads turning and our some brains, you know, kind of twirling. And the brain is working right now, coming up with ideas and different things. And
right.
I have no doubt that we've gotten some people to realize that they are placemakers and that they can be a part of this. Kayla, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, maybe just talk to you and ask you some other questions about some other things or anything like that, is there a way to reach you?
Yes. So here's the fun part, saying my email on radio. Yeah. James and I one day are going to find a better way
to figure this out. Yes.
So my email is krumbalski, that's rumbalski, R-O-M-B-A-L-S-K-I, WISC.edu. So you can get a hold of me there. You can call the extension office. If you look us up online, you'll find the contact information for our office. You can send me a carrier pigeon.